We're up to the Mishnah on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah now wants to know about the status in Tumah of a ship. And we would have thought that a ship should be Mekabel Tumah, especially since it's got a Kli Kibul, so even if it's made of wood, you know, we put the cargo in the ship. Minayin l'sfina shi Torah, do we have some sort of a basis for what probably is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, but a basis in the Torah itself, or perhaps in Tanakh, that a sfina is not susceptible to tumah? Shenemar derech aniya b'lev yom. And this is a pasuk of Shlomo Melech in Mishlei. And a person could not possibly know the path of a ship. It's in the heart of the sea. It's very far away, and also there are no footprints. Whatever traces of the ship vanish immediately in the water. And the Gemara is going to have to analyze how we derive from this pasuk that a ship is not susceptible to tumah. Gemara says, Pshita aniya b'lev yom hi. We know that even without Shlomo Melech, that the path of a ship is in the heart of the sea. What therefore is this pasuk teaching us? Kamash balon kayam, that the aniya is like the yom. Mayam tahar af sfina tahora. Just like the water of the sea is not susceptible to tumah, so too a ship is not susceptible to tumah. Now let's try to ask, number one, why is it that a sea is not susceptible to tumah? And the answer is because it has the status of mechubar lekarka. And anything that's mechubar lekarka is not mekabel tumah. So any water that's in the ground, as opposed to something that's collected in a utensil, in a receptacle, like, for example, lakes or rivers or seas, all these are mechubar lekarka. Now, what about a ship? Why is a ship impervious to Kabbalah's tumah? And this was known to Shlomo Melech, and the Meiri and others say because it was halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and Shlomo knew about it. He didn't understand it, and therefore he said, this is beyond our comprehension, this is a what we call a gzeiras hakasuv. There's no logical reason to exclude a ship from tumah. It has all the criteria for Kabbalah's tumah. So that Shlomo Melech really is asking a question here, and he's saying that we really don't understand why the Sfina has the same status in Tumah as the Yam. Now the Gemara quotes a different opinion, that of Hananya. He's a Tana, and he disagrees with our Mishnah as to the source, and we'll see the Nafkavit is, to the halach that a Sfina is excluded from Kabbalah's Tumah. And here we have to refer to a parasha in Vayikra Yud Aleph, where the Torah has a long list in which it enumerates those kinds of materials that are susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah, in that case, Tumah Sheretz. And included in that list is a wooden utensil, a cloth utensil, or, which means a hide, or a sack, which is sin kuf. And we're going to equate everything on this list to the sack, so that a wooden utensil would also have to be similar to a sack in order to be mekabel tumah. And that means that wooden utensils can only require the mekabel tumah if they have what's called a kli kibul, if they have a receptacle. And a receptacle is something that was manufactured as such, the vessel was intended to be a receptacle, and then it's makabel tumah because it's similar to sak. Mas sak metaltel mole v'reikon, af kol metaltel mole v'reikon. And a sack can be carried not only while it's empty, that's called reikon, but even when it's laden with objects, that's called mole. And it can be carried. Something that cannot be carried, it's sort of stationary. Let's say, for example, it's too heavy to be carried. It's not included in this equation to sak, and if it's excluded from susceptibility to tumah. And the Brice of Chananya says, Lafuke sfina, de'ena mitatelis moli v'reikom. Now we can derive the exclusion of sfina from tumah because it's not included in the hekesh to sak. Because perhaps, in some cases, maybe you can convince yourself that you could move the sfina from place to place when it's not laden, and you can carry it in the water. Perhaps the, let's say you have oarsmen who propel this ship, but that's only because it's buoyant in the water. And this is not called carrying. Tosa says the carrying by the water does not make a vessel into a container, similar to sak. In the case of a ship, even if you would argue that the ship is a small, relatively small ship, and you could carry it, maybe you could have animals that will drag it, we'll see soon about oxen, but one thing is for sure, that if a vessel is too heavy and too large to be carried when it's laden, then it's not susceptible to tumas sheretz, or for that matter, any other form of tumah. And the ship is therefore not susceptible to tumah, because as a result of its great size, it's not carried while it's laden. So I guess if you would imagine a ship of significant size and you laden it with some very heavy cargo, even the oxen will not be able to drag that ship. It cannot be carried. Even though you might be able to propel it through the water, but that's because the water is carrying the ship. But the ship per se is not susceptible, doesn't lend itself to be carried laden, and therefore it's not tumi de sak, and it's excluded from Kabbalah's tumah. This is the view of Chananya. My nafkamina, what's the difference between our Tana in our Mishnah and Chananya? In other words, it's not just a matter of what's the source and what's the asmachta and so forth, it's a practical nafkamina, the two different definitions of the exclusion of a ship from tumah. And the Gemara is now going to offer two different nafkaminas, and in each case, Chananya is going to be machmir, and he's going to include those specific cases of sfina in Kabbalah's tumah. And ikamineu sfina shel cheres, it's a ship that was manufactured from earthenware. And in that sense, it's not included in the list of materials that are makabel tumah. Is man diomer ani abalev miyam, if we're excluding a ship in the heart of the sea, then it makes no difference what the ship is made of. If the material is, in this case, earthenware, nevertheless, the ship is excluded from tumah. Because Hanami Belev Yami, this is a ship that travels in the heart of the sea. But Lamandi Omer Kisak, according to Chananya, who has a hekesh between anything that's makabel tumah and sak, then earthenware is not going to be excluded by virtue of this comparison to sak, because Hanach Tiksivi Gabi Sak, whatever list of materials are written in the parasha there, Vayikra Yud Aleph, together with sak, those materials are restricted, or shall we say qualified, by their equation to sock. They have to be metaltil moli varekum. And therefore the Gemara says the metaltilis moli varekum in ilo lo. So for example, if you have a cloth, or you could have a utensil made of a hide or wood, and it's not metaltil moli varekum, it's not similar to sock. That's because those materials are listed together with sock in the same pasuk. Aval svina shel cheres, if it's made out of cheres, that's not listed in the pasuk with sock, and therefore it doesn't have to, it's not equated to sock, and it doesn't have those limitations and those requirements of metaltil moli varekum. The afal gav deina metaltil is moli varekum. Nevertheless, the ship that's made from cheres would be makabel tuma, even though it's not similar to sock, but we don't have that requirement of similarity to sock. We don't need to fulfill the condition of metaltil moli varekum. So a ship that was manufactured from earthenware, even if it's very large, will be susceptible to kapolas tuma. Whereas according to our Tanakhama, as we said before, it would be excluded. Inami, another nafkamina, would be Sfina Sayardin. Lemadi Omer Onia Belev Yom. Is Honami Onia Belev Yom. If the exclusion here is because there's a ship that's on the sea, it means not just the sea, but any body of water. And we said before, maybe it's Mechubel Karka, whatever we discussed earlier, but nevertheless, the bottom line is that if a Sfina travels through the Jordan, and keep in mind that the Jordan River is narrow, it's shallow, and it can accommodate only small boats, and it's very logical, the Gemara says, that this ship that travels over the Jordan River is excluded from Kabbalah's Tumah under the halacha of Aniyah B'Lev Yom. This too is an Aniyah B'Lev Yom. In other words, the Pasuk, when it uses the word Yam, it doesn't mean that we're only talking about seagoing vessels, but rather anything that's compared, anything that is a ship on a body of water where you travel, that's considered like a sea. And the Jordan River, for example, the Mayim itself would not be Mekabel Tumah, so therefore the ship that travels on the Jordan River would not be Mekabel Tumah. However, if we accept Hananya's approach, Leman Diyom Mitatel Esmoli Varekom, that the exclusion of a ship is because it doesn't fulfill the requirements of the Hekesh to sock, and then it's not mitaltel smoli varekum, hanami, in this case of a small ship, mitaltel smoli varekum. It can be carried even when it's laden. The Omer Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya, mipnei ma omru sfinas hayarden tmea. In other words, we have a Mishnah which indicates that the Sfina that travels up the Jordan River is susceptible to Tumah. We can load it up on the dry land, lower it into the water, and it can be carried even when it's laden, and therefore it's subject to the contamination and contracting Tumah. And that's according to Rabbi Hananya. And now we see that we have another Tana that seems to accept Hananya, and that's Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya. Om Rabbi Yehuda Marav, li olam al yimna adam es atzmo mi beis ha-medrash afilu sha'achas. This is a short interlude here of Agada, it's very short, but very interesting. A person should never be absent from the beis medrash, even for a single moment. And Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, demonstrates this, embellishes this by telling Harei Kama Shonim Nishmeis Mishneh Zu B'Beis HaMedrash. We had this Mishnah, which is a Mishnah in Kalim, and we never really understood why the Mishnah says that Sfina Sayardin is Tmea. We always thought that a Sfina is not Makabel Tumah. Well, on his Gala, Taimo Shel Dorat Shabach Hanani Ben Akavya U Perisha. If you would have missed that one shir of Hanani ben Akavya, you'd miss the interpretation, the understanding of that Mishnah, because now Hanani ben Akavya has revealed to us the deeper meaning of this Mishnah. That if you have a boat up the Jordan River, what they did was they loaded it with cargo on the dry land, they loaded it into the water, and therefore it's similar to sak, and it's mitalteles moli vareka. Hence, we understand why it's makabel tuma. Excuse me. Well, Rabbi Yonas on now the Gemara embellishes this agadah about how important it is not even to miss a day in the Beis Medrash. Al yimna under this atzmo, the Beis Medrash midivrei Torah afilu shas misa. The Torah wants you to be involved in studying the words of the Torah even at the moment of death. Shenemar, poskei the beginning of Chukas, says zosa Torah adam ki yomus bi ohel. And it means that a man is dying in the tent of Torah. And afilu b'shas misa oseik b'Torah. Again, I challenge a person who's on the verge of going into a coma chas v'shalom to study Torah. But obviously the Gemara is talking about a case of a person who is slipping in to the next world. You know, Baruch Hashem, he's got a Misas Neshika. So he can study Torah even at the moment of his death. I'm not sure exactly how the Malach HaMos is going to get a hold of him if he's studying Torah. I mean, that was the Agadah we had earlier about David HaMelech. In any event, the Poshup Shad in this Pasuk of Zos Torah Sa'adam Ki Yomus is to teach us Tumas Mes. And what applies to Tumas Mes is Metame Yodim V'Kelim, Ochlin U'Mashkin, all the above, when they are in the roof and they share that, so to speak, the roof with a corpse, they're all contaminated, they're all Mekabel Tumah. And when it says Zos Chukas HaTorah, the Torah is introducing Tumas Mes. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yonasan sees these words as Zos Chukas HaTorah as unnecessary, as superfluous, and he derives from them that a person should study Torah even when he's at death's door. We have a third member about the significance of Torah. Omer Eish Lakish, Ein Devi Torah Miskayim El B'misha, Memis Atzmolesh, Enema Zos Torahs Adam, Ki Yomus Biol. The Torah that's studied by an Adam is Ki Yomus Biol, and he has to be Memis Atzmo. He, so to speak, kills himself over Torah. He suffers for the sake of Torah study. He pushes himself. And it's not always pleasant. It's not always easy. Also, he doesn't engage in physical pleasures. And by limiting them, he's also, in a sense, killing his body to some extent. Omar Rava. And now we turn to Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Ulechananya, Tiltul al Yidei Shvarim Shmei Tiltul. Sometimes Rava would introduce a suffix. Here, Rava is absolutely sure that if this object, whatever it might be, as large as it might even be a large ship, but it can be carried by oxen, that's considered tiltul. And therefore, it's like sak, it's included in the hekesh, and it is susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah. So if you have a large ship, but it can be moved by the means of these draft animals, these very powerful oxen, then it would be susceptible to tumah. I don't think this would apply to motorized carrying of a ship, but if there are animals that could carry the ship and move it from place to place, then the ship is mekabel tumah. That's Rava's chiddush here. And basically the Tanakhama might also agree, I don't know, that carrying that's performed by an ox is also considered significant to render a vessel susceptible to tumah, but the exception is going to be a ship. So that a ship, even though it can be dragged by the oxen, nevertheless, it's not mekabel tumah according to the Chachamim. because a ship is excluded under the pasuk of Derech Hania Belevya. Disnan. Now Rava quotes a mission in Kalim as a proof. Sholosh Agolos Hain. There are three types of wagons, and they have, because of the nature and the way they were manufactured and the purpose for which they were created, they have different requirements, different dinim as far as susceptibility to Kabbal Tumah. For example, the first wagon is shaped like a chair, Asuya ke katedra, and Tmei Midras. In other words, Midrash means, let's say a Zav would sit on it, in this case sit on the wagon. The wagon is Mekabel Tumas Midrash HaZav, because this was created and designated for the purpose of sitting. That's called a Katedra. Katedra is a chair. Then we have a case of Kemita. There's a wagon that is created or manufactured like a mita, like a bed, and it's tmei tomei mes. Here we have a chumra of tumas mes. So what is this bed that's, this wagon, I should say, that's built like a bed, and why is it susceptible to tumas mes? Is it susceptible to any other tumor? And it would seem that the juxtaposition of Asuya Katedra and Kemita is teaching us that as far as Medrash is concerned, only Katedra is Mekabel Tumas Medrash and not a Mita, meaning not a wagon, an Agola that was made like a Mita. And the explanation here offered by Rashi and others is that a wagon bed is formed as beds were formed in those days, with a sheet of leather that was wrapped around the frame. The leather didn't have any holes in it. The wagon would contain objects that were placed within it, and therefore it's considered a kli kibul. It has the status of a receptacle, and therefore it's susceptible to tumah. However, not to tumas midras. Why? Because tumas midras only applies when the object, the article, was designated for supporting the weight of human beings. That's not the way this wagon was created. This wagon was created for the sake and for the purpose of carrying cargo, of carrying items, not for sitting. And Tumas Medrash is only for something that was created for the purpose of resting. And in this case, it wasn't created for the purpose of resting, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumas Medrash. Then we go on to a third case of a wagon. Shalavonim, it's made of stones. Tahora miklu, it's not Mekabel any tumor whatsoever, because it's made of stone. So in the Hebrew translation, he says that this agola shel avonim is molichim ba avonim gdolos. So it doesn't mean that this wagon was made of stones. It was actually made of boards. But he says, ubiktachtoteha nekavim gdolim. In other words, in the bottom of the wagon, they had certain holes that were used between the boards as a container, and this would not be Mekabel Tumah, this wagon, through Maga. Every other object is Mekabel Tumah's Maga. However, here in this case, he uses it to transport stones, and this kind of wagon is what we call Pshute Kliets. It's a wooden vessel that has a hole, and it cannot serve as a Kli Kibul. Once it's got these holes, then any fruit, for example, that you would put inside this wagon would fall through. And we're assuming now that Tahor miklum eni yechol litame klal kevin shenekaveha gdolim mishir rimon, a hole that's larger than the size of a pomegranate, which means it cannot hold and retain even a large fruit, because that large fruit will fall through, is therefore, it's not makabel tumah. And that's a general rule that we've mentioned in the past, that a kli that has a nekev is no longer makabel tumah, as long as that nekev is the shear of kimotzi rimon. And it's no longer considered a kli kibul, and therefore pshutei kliyates without wooden kelim, without a receptacle, are not makabel tumah. But Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan added a comment to this Mishnah, im yeshba base kibul rimonim, Tmea tami mes. If the nekovim, these holes in this wagon that carries avonim ktanim, if the nekovim are ktanim from the shear of motzi rimonim, it's a much smaller kind of a hole than tmea tmei mes. It is susceptible to tami mes, and for that matter, that's just an example. But all the different tumas, with the exception of tumas medrash, because it wasn't designated for medrash, but rather for masa. Anyway, we see clearly from Rabbi Yochanan that even kli eitz, if it's eino metaltal al yidei adam el yidei shvarim, it's makabel tumah, because this agala that has and is used for transporting stones is very, very heavy. And a person could not possibly carry it. So why is it mekabel tumah as long as Rabbi Yochanan qualifies, it's yeshba beis kibul rimonim? And the answer is because since it's metaltal al yidei shvarim, therefore it's mekabel tumah in a case where the nekovim are small enough and it's mishir motzi rimon, it's less than the shear of motzi rimon. So when you talked about metaltel in the equation to sak, you include anything that's metaltel even al yidei shvarim. So a human being could not be metaltel, it's too heavy. But nevertheless, it is included in the parasha of tuma, as we saw here in the case of an agalah shel avon. Now we're going to go into another Mishnah, Masech Tekelim, to prove that the wagon that we mentioned before, the stone, the wagon that's used to transport stones, is really of great size and it can't be moved by a human being. It can only be moved by animals. Shalosh tevos hein. There are three kinds of tevos. A teva is a chest, or what we call an aron for storage. Number one, we have a teva shepischa mitzida. It has an opening on its side and it's tmeya medris. It's makabel tumas medris. And the reason why, because it's very often used as a resting space, since it's open from the side, and it's not open on top, so therefore you can just lie on it. And it's very comfortable, so it's used as a resting place. And therefore, any article that's used to support someone's weight for resting place is susceptible to tumas medris. Then we have number two, haba'a b'mida is tahor miklum. Here we have a chest that's of great size, and this is not similar to sock. And let's say it opens up from the top, and it cannot be moved. When you put stuff inside of it, even oxen cannot move it. If they try to move it, they'll break it. So this is not susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah, because once it's open from the top, it's considered that it's something that is designated for, it's not designated for lying upon, because again, it's on the top, and that's why it's excluded from tumas medris. But why is it excluded from other tumas, as we said before? Because it cannot be moved when it's laden, even by oxen. Okay, fine. So the Mishnah has a teva she pischa mitzido. It has pischa mim. One second, I think we skipped something. Milamala tmeya tmei mes. If it can be opened up on top, then it's subject to tmei mes. And for that matter, any other tomb except for tumas midris, because you cannot rest on it. It's open from the top. That'll be very uncomfortable. And then we said, haba b'mida, if it's really, really heavy, as we said before, then it's not makabel any tumor at all. Now, let's just see what we get from this Mishnah. You know, since the Mishnah has this enumeration of three different sorts of tevos, and one of the three is this very, very large chest, which we said was haba b'mida, and it would seem, therefore, that if we compare, you know, that Mishnah that we had, the wagons, the different kind of agolos, then, so getting back to the Mishnah in of the agolos, we had a list of different kinds of agolos. It didn't mention, lechora, anything that would parallel, you know, this teva, which is bav v'mida. The answer is that it really does have bav v'mida, or it's parallel over there, because we're talking about a wagon that transports stones, and that's bav v'mida. That's also something that's so heavy, it's so great in size, that it cannot be carried even by the ox, and that's why it's not mekabel tumah. Again, Rabbi Yochanan says it might be mekabel tumah under a different halacha, as a kli kibul, if the holes were small enough that it could still hold on to a large fruit like a pomegranate. But maybe in such a case, you know, if it had these small holes, then maybe it could be drawn by oxen. But in any event, it's definitely so that if it cannot be carried by human beings, but it can only be carried by oxen, then it would be susceptible to kamal tumah. In the case of a teva that's bav v'mida, means it cannot be drawn even by the oxen when it's laid. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Medris kli cheres tar. And we're talking about now the case of a kli cheres, which is an earthenware vessel. And let's say a zav would put his pressure on, his body pressure, his weight, on this kli cheres. It would not be mekabel tumah. So if a zav would sit or lie on an earthenware vessel, this vessel is not mekabel tumah. Again, we're only talking about a case where there's no tumas maga. If there would be tumas maga, and in a kli cheres, it's even the avir of a kli cheres, in the space, the airspace of a kli cheres, that's a different story. We're talking about medris where there's no direct contact. And then the brisa says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Af Hasfina. Well, what does he mean by that? Maika Omar. In other words, is he excluding a sfina from Medrash Tumah? I mean, we already had a pasuk to be mamait a ship from Tumah. And once it's excluded from Tumah, so a ship cannot be mekabel Tumah, you don't have to tell me that it's not mekabel Tumah's Medrash. I mean, why are you specifying Medrash? Now, moreover, Medrash is only applicable to something, an article, an item that was made like a bed or a chair for sitting, for weight. I wouldn't say that's true for every ship. I mean, maybe there are such ships. Omrav Zvid, Hachi Kamer, Medrash, Kli Cheres, Tar, okay, that we had. Umago Tome. In other words, if a Zav has direct contact with a Kli Cheres, as we said before, then the Kli Cheres would be Mekabel Tumah, through Maga. Usvina Shel Cheres, Tmeya. Now, this Svina Shel Cheres, a ship that's made of earthenware. That would depend upon the machlokes in the Tanakam and Chananya. That's why the Gemara says kechananya, that if an earthenware ship is makabel tuma, that can only be so according to Chananya. And the reason for that is because earthenware kelim are not included in the hekish to sak, and therefore we don't need mitaltel mole verekam. Rabbi Yossi Omer, now going back to the Braisa, is af hasvina tahora, even an earthenware ship is not makabel tuma, and that's ketana didan. That would make sense only according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, who excludes every single ship by virtue of Allah Lamos Misinai from Kabbalah's tuma. So Rabbi Yossi now is basically saying that you're presenting the Shita of Chananya, and therefore you're telling me a Sfinah Shel Cheres is Tmeya. I'm going to tell you that Af HaSfinah Tahora, that even though in that Sfinah, that Kli Cheres Sfinah that you said is Tmeya, I'm going to tell you it's Tahora, because I hold like the Tanakama. So the Gemara says, Maskif Lo Rav Papa, my Af. Rabbi Yossi says af hasfina Torah. It's adding sfina to something else. Well, what was that something else? Now, the Tanakama of the Braisa has not excluded anything from susceptibility to Tumas Maga. So Rabbi Yossi must be excluding something that's in addition to the Tanakama. So what is this? What is this af? It just doesn't make sense the way we're reading the Braisa. Because again, Rabbi Yossi is trying to exclude, you know, so here's Rav Papa's objection to the Gemara's explanation in the name of Rav Zvid. Because Rav Zvid had said that Rabbi Yossi Omer af hasfina tahora, and we're referring to Tumas Maga. I mean, that's the relevant Tuma that we're talking about in the case of Sfina. And that reflects our Tana of our Mishnah, based on the Pasuk Derech Ani Abalev Am, that a Sfina is not Makabal Tumas Maga. Now, when he says Tahar, he means not only is X Tahar from Tumas Maga, but even Sfina is Tahora from Tumas Maga. Af HaSfina Tahora. But wait a second. He's talking, Rabbi Yossi, to the Chachamim, to the Tanakama. The Tanakama was not Metayer Kli Cheres from Tumas Maga. If they would have said that Kli Cheres is Tahor from Tumas Maga, then you could say Af Sfina. But the af makes no sense, because Rav Yossi is not adding another category of something that is tahor by adding svina. He's not adding svina to a long list or even one item that's tahor mitumas maga. Ela amar Rav Papa hachi kamar. This is the way we have to interpret the braisa. Midras kli cheres tar, and that we're going to derive the halacha midras and kli cheres from a hekesh, as we'll soon see. Umago tome, and any maga of tuma with a kli cheres is mitame. Vishal eitz, you have a kli made of wood. Bein midraso, bein mago tome. In other words, every kli eitz that's made for yeshiva, and that's how it's designated manufactured, that is makabel tumas medras, and of course tumas maga. However, usfiras hayardein Tahora. And this reflects our Shita of Avatana, that every Sfina is excluded from the Pasuk Derech Ani Abalev Yom, and it's Eina Nitmes. And that includes all Sfinos, even a small Sfina that can be carried when it's laden. Rabbi Yossi Omer Af HaSfina Tmeya. Even a Sfina Sayaradein that was mentioned by the Tanakama, that's also included under Kli Eitz, and it's Tmeya. Why? Because he holds, Rabbi Yossi, like Chananya, and we derive the exclusion of Sfina from Tumah because it's not similar to sak. And the Sfina is not metalteles malea reka, kesak. And therefore that only applies to a Sfina gedola, because it's not metaltela malea, like sak, but a Sfina sayarden, which is a very small boat, as we said before, that's something that you could be metaltel, and even if it's malea, and therefore it's subject to tumah. Now let's go back to the case of Kli Cheres. We said that Kli Cheres does not lend itself to Tumas Medrash. Why is that so? U'medrash Kli Cheres minol detar. What's the source for this? Amar Chizkia, the Amar Kra, in the Parsha of Zav, which is Tumas Mishkav, in Vayikra Tesvav, it says, Ve'ish asher yiga b'mishkavo, yichabes b'gadov, rachatz b'mayim v'tomei ala aref. And we have here the word Mishkavo, and that sets up a hekesh. Makish mishkavo lo. In other words, Tumas Mishkav, the Zav, is being compared to Tumas Gufo. And this hekesh is not like a normal hekesh where you have two in Yonim that being equated with a smichus zu lezu. Here we're talking about a hekesh in one word. But the word mishkavo has the mashmos of mishkav and lo. Mahu isle tara b'mikva af mishkavo nami isle tara b'mikva, which means that just like he himself, the Zav, will ultimately be metar himself purified by being tovah b'mikva, so to his mishkav is also subject to tara b'mikva. However, Kli Cheres doesn't have Tara even the mikvah, therefore it's not Nitma Midin Mishkav Hazav. Now, how do we know that Kli Cheres is not subject to Tara the mikvah? Because the Torah says in Vayikra Tesvav, Ukli Cheres Asher Yigavo Azav Yishaver Ein La Tara Ela Shvira. Here we have another source that Kli Cheres is not Metame Medris, because in the parasha of Tumas Zav, or specifically Zova in this case, it says, Kol HaMishkav Asher Tishkav Alav, Kol Yimei Zova, Ki Mishkav Nida Sa Yela. Bechol Kli Afan. So Makish Mishkav Ala. Here it's in two different words, Mishkav and La. Mahi isle tara b'mikva, af mishkava nami, isle tara b'mikva, lafuke kli cheres to lesle tara b'mikva. And this brings us to Masiv Rabbi Ila. So we're going to stop here on the bottom one and daf pei dalid omid aleph. Tomorrow Mirtz Hashem will do pei dalid omid beis. And hopefully we get to the Mishnah of Aruga.